Welcome to the Old Galway Diary podcast. Each week, Tom Kenny and I, Ronnie O'Gorman, write a column in the Galway Advertiser. Before it goes to press, we contact each other and share what is filling the page that particular week. This podcast is that conversation. And I would add, we enjoy talking to you and would appreciate if you would give us a rate and review on the Apple Podcast app.
Good morning, Dick. How are you?
I'm fine, Tom. I'm just remembering that this is the 54th anniversary of our Galway Advertiser.
Is it really? Wow.
Yes, it is. Congratulations to Ronnie.
And what about me? Congratulations to me for surviving so long.
Yes. I had a column myself in it in the beginning.
You were indeed, I know. Congratulations is amen to Ronnie. Absolutely. What an achievement.
Yeah.
And it seemed like kind of a madcap exercise in the very early days, you know. But he proved himself right.
He was. We were taken on by his enthusiasm, really.
We were, yeah. But he knew what he wanted to do as well. I mean, he had a lot of it very carefully planned and mapped out. And I knew the day I knew he was established as a paper was when he told me that he'd been hauled up to the bishop's palace and given a whack on the knuckles by the bishop. And I knew, oh, he really is a newspaper now.
That was easy enough, don't you?
Oh, yeah, indeed it was. Not always easy to resist him, mind you, but...
No.
Anyway, it's a big day then. Congratulations again, Ronnie, and to all the staff, indeed, in the Advertiser. Anyway,
yes,
this week, I'm going back in ancient history this week, really. a bit further than 54 years. To talk about the various kind of fortifications that went up around the city, because it wasn't always the city we know today. In medieval times, it was a very small unit, really, the city. As we celebrated, if you remember, for the quincentennial, 500 years a city. It was a small city-state, really, completely independent politically and ecclesiastically, and depending on its own resources.
Yes, the resources were mostly outside the wall, of course.
They were, but at the same time, it kept itself as an independent state and largely independent of the British influence. But the English were gradually, in the 16th century, moving westwards. And gradually Galway became under their dominion, and as it did, it kind of became increasingly Anglo, I suppose. But the real symbol of the... Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, with all the garrisons they established here, they hadn't much chance.
No, they did not, and that was up right up until 100 years ago, when you think of it. But the real symbol of the growing influence were the fortifications. There were four major sessions of fortification in the history of Galway. And these were raised to defend this very important place against all possible enemies. And in those days, France and Spain were seen as the real enemies. So we know that the very first mention of fortifications in Galway, it was a walled city. But that was all. It was a wall to keep people in rather than to keep people out. And so the first mention of fortifications was way back in 1548 when the then King, Edward VI, he asked the mayor and the council to fortify the port. Well, of course, they were absolutely willing to do this, but they pleaded that they had no money. the lack of funds, and the government were certainly willing to advise, but not to pay. So, as often happens politically, nothing happened. It was quite funny, really, when you think of it.
It's an old story.
It is.
No money to go ahead and build the wall, but we've no money to give you.
Yeah, exactly. We'll give you the idea, but we won't pay you. Anyway. Yeah, now, the as you said, the garrisons of English soldiers, they weren't a bit popular here in Galway, not with the natives. And they allowed kind of rebels, people with outside the walls, really, an excuse to come and attack the city. Now, when you think of it, you know, there was always this huge Galway Spanish influence. A lot of trade between Galway and Spain. And obviously, with the advance of the English, a certain amount of this was badly affecting native businessmen, and they weren't very happy with losing their Spanish trade. So they began, in some cases, to smuggle in guns and supplies to these rebels. And then, of course, there was the danger from Spain itself. So it wasn't very long after that the Armada came to the Irish coast.
And look what happened to them.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Especially in Galway.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't do very well in Galway, I'm afraid. They're all buried in Fort Hill, as we know. It was the weather that beat the Spaniards in that time, apart from those captured, like in Galway. But it was obvious that this might happen again, and indeed another Spanish fleet arrived a few years later, but they were again forced by bad weather to land in Kinsale, and they were beaten there by Mountjoy and his English army.
But I believe they were heading for Galway too.
They were, yeah, and in
at
fact,
the time, but the...
yeah, and there was a feeling that had they landed in Galway, you're absolutely right, that the result would have been much, much different at the time. So this
O'Donnell had to meet them, and it took him an extra few days to get down to Kinsale.
Yeah, that's right.
And by then it was all over.
Yeah. It was, unfortunately. But the Brits now realized that had the Spaniards landed in Galway, the results could have been extremely different. So they no longer had a choice. They decided not to take any more risks and to start to fortify our city straight away. This initially was done outside the walls at Fort Hill. Excuse me. There had been a fort there, but they revamped it completely, updated it, overhauled and improved it. And this Fort Hill seems like a strange place, but it was a very strategic hill because it overlooked the city.
You could lob shots into the city very easily from there.
That's exactly right. And at the same time, then they fortified Mutton Island, where the lighthouse is today. The West Gate, which was the main gate into the city, there was only one bridge over the river at the time, what we now know as O'Brien's Bridge. And it was fortified, the West Gate. They built towers and battlements and things on it in 1625.
And the portcullis.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. And a couple of years later then, the Irish, they set up a government of their own in Kilkenny. And Colonel John Burke, he became the Lieutenant General for Connacht. He was a pretty good strategist, and in 1643, the fort in Galway surrendered to his troops. And so suddenly, the city had its independence back again. The citizens lost no time in strengthening their own city, fortifying the town, so as to make it more or less unassailable. The east and south ramparts were finished quickly, and the area around the Lion's Tower was built up, and Over the next couple
yes,
of years.
I bet it didn't go up as quickly as it came down, though.
No, unfortunately. No, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, but of course, by 1649, the whole place was, all the gates had been replaced, everything, and the fortifications were more or less finished. And it looked like the place, as far as defense went, was probably one of the strongest places in the whole kingdom of Britain.
It always reminds me of Carcassonne in France. The current,
well, yes, indeed. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Not at all unlike it, a walled city. And in fact, one of the illustrations that I have is a drawing of the city from across the river in 1685. But it gives you an idea of how monumental these battlements and walls and fortifications
yes,
were.
They were really high, really high.
Yeah, very, very imposing.
Which is why when fellows came to lay siege to Galway, they gave up and went back and gave a battering to Athenry, which had lower walls.
Exactly right. Well, anyway, it was all in vain because Cromwell, eventually the city had to surrender to Cromwell. And of course, they came, they more or less destroyed the city and a lot of the people in it. And they certainly, the old city-state was gone forever. Now, there's almost no evidence of any of the fortifications left. I do have a photograph also, which is about 150 years old. And it's a part of the walled fortifications that are still left, actually. Maybe
at the back of the arch.
Yeah, exactly. They're facing, if you come out the door of the museum today, you're looking at this wall. It's still intact and it's still there. But,
and there's still a fair piece of it in the Air Square Centre.
Yeah, which they uncovered during the quincentennial. But as you say, one of the great bastions that was left, the Lion's Tower, that disappeared very quickly. A huge amount of objection to it.
The problem was that the corporation had decided to list it or to classify it and preserve it. But the owner wasn't of the same point of view, so he took it down over a weekend.
Yeah, I remember there was a
Friday and Saturday, and it disappeared. It was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a huge furore about it at the time. I remember Professor Jerry Hayes McCoy, he was leading the pack of objectors to
the destruction
of this. But it was gone. It was gone, and it's been replaced by an extremely dull building, to be honest, which has no historical bearing on the area or anything like it, unfortunately.
No, it was just taken down over the weekend, Friday to Saturday, Friday night to Sunday.
Yeah, so
I remember it well.
Yeah, I bet you do. You're much older than me.
Yes. As old as the town clock, as anybody used to say.
Yeah, or Johnny Clafferty used to say, he remembers when the town clock was the watch. Anyway, so this week we have two illustrations. One is from 1685, a drawing of the city showing how imposing and enormous the battlements and fortifications were. And then the other photograph, which is dates from about 1865, is of that wall opposite the museum at the back of the Spanish Arch today. So that's me for this week. Now, 54 years on, I'm not quite 54 years doing this, but I'm very close to it.
You started when you were very small.
I know. I always looked up to you, though. So, until next week, Dick, I'll talk to you then, Lacuna J.
Au revoir, and happy birthday, Galway Advertiser.
Amen to that. Hear, hear.